Prayer, please. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I just backing up a little bit on that first song we sang, the second verse. It just, that one really spoke to me. Though coming weak and vile, thou dost my strength assure. Thou dost my vileness fully cleanse till spotless, all impure. That verse was great. Okay, 44. 44, to God be the glory.
Praise the Lord.
way back over to the back of the hymnal, 566. When the roll is called up yonder. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the Savior earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Excitement about that and what God has done. I'd like to ask those that are campers, if you wouldn't mind, we're going to sing a song. We normally have prepared a song, but this year we haven't prepared one, but we're going to sing a song for you this evening. So if you're a camper, grab a hymnal and turn to 368, a good song and to sing after coming from camp. So yep, come on, surprise, surprise. You just came out of camp. You're welcome. You're used to surprises. So. Oh, yeah. See, look at all these folks, lovely folks. There were 23 teens and kids. We had 7 adults and a half a person came. So, no. We had little Abigail as well with us, so that was really sweet, too. Oh, she didn't come up. Okay, she gets a pass. Okay.
Take me, I would give my heart to thee, thy devotion.
All right. This is our testimony service from camp. So if you know what's coming, you can stay up here if you want to. If you don't know what's coming, let me give you an encouragement. In just a moment here, we'll have you guys come on up here. But you know what? Each of you young people, I'm talking to you that went to camp. You know, there's a lot of people here that invested. They invested finances, they invested prayer and their heart, and they desire to hear what God has done in your life. So I'm going to invite you, if you went to camp, to come and to give a small little testimony. I know it's the most scary thing in the world. How many of you guys thought this was the scariest thing the first time you did it, all right? I remember that. All right, it feels like it's terrible, but it's really not that bad. And if you just want to say one thing and say, I like the food, well, then, all right, that's good. And if you want to say, if you just want to say something on the lines that say, I got saved this week, you know, that's fine too. Just doesn't have to be much, but encourage everybody who went to camp, I encourage you to come up here and be a part of this and give a testimony. All right, so, testing 1, 2, 3.
Well, it was a long week, but the Lord blessed it. And there was this message he talked about on preparing your heart to seek the Lord. And there were several kings in the Old Testament who did not prepare their hearts to seek the Lord, and they failed. And I want to prepare my heart. And it was a good week. It was a good way to start the week because it was at the beginning. And the rest of the week just went on after that, and it started rolling almost for the Lord. So, and then there's another message about being single focused, and well, I have a trouble with that many times, pushing over to other things and not focusing on the Lord Himself alone.
I just wanted to share what happened in my week of camp and how God really used it to help me. And there was one sermon that really convicted me on salvation. It really helped me and let me know, gave me assurance that I was a Christian because I was kind of doubting. And I just wanted to share on how God helped me in things there, and that he helped me in our cabin and to talk to other people and convince them to God.
I wanted to start off by thanking everybody who prayed for us as we went to camp and on the way back. It was my last year, and even though I got injured on Wednesday night, I could still praise God through it and see me grow more in him as on the last night when Haley gave her devotional about staying in the castle, I realized I needed to stay in the castle and not be involved in worldly activities and those things going on around me, and how I needed to have a servant heart towards others in my church and my family and around me. I also wanted another thing was obeying my parents and honoring them through what I do doing it the first time instead of complaining or having an attitude towards them.
What really ready me was the services, and the most particular one was to obey your parents.
Amen.
My favorite sermon was forgiveness. I have trouble like forgiving other people. And my other favorite was obeying your authority. I have another trouble with that. And I really loved the story that Miss Haley was talking about, staying in your castle. Like, I need to stay in my castle, and it was just really encouraging to hear that story, and it was really encouraging to see, like, some of my friends, like, talking to the counselors, and it was really convicting with Mark Herbster. All of his messages were, like, really powerful.
One message that spoke to me was honoring your parents, and that really convinced me that I had to honor my parents. And in the memorization Bible verses, it was about that you can go to Christ when you are in need, and that really spoke to me, those two.
Well, I had missed the last 2 years of camp, and it really bummed me out. Just the week that everyone was gone, I had been going to summer camp since I was 7 years old, and it was a big part of my life. It was a big part of my summer, and I want to Mr. Brock's not here, but I just want to thank him for the job that I have with him. Was able to just help with finances and help be able to take that week off to go, and he was very, very willing to let me go. But I'd say the highlight of this week was, I think it was Wednesday night. We had just gotten done with the evening chapel, and I was sitting down on the bed in the cabin right after, and I was in there by myself, and one of the campers came in. He's 10 or 11, and he goes over to his bed and kind of sits down, and he goes, and I kind of like look over at him, and he goes, "Well, now I know for sure I'm saved." And I was like, "Oh, that's great, man." And he was so happy about it. And he's like, "Oh, I'm going to go play carpet ball." And it made the rest of the week so much worth it, just to hear him so excited about it. The preaching was great. One on Thursday night, one of the last ones that was taught, stuck out to me, it stuck out to me on honoring your father and mother. And maybe 6-7 years ago, the same thing was taught, and I had a conviction about honoring my parents and doing what was told the first time. And now hearing that again as a parent, realizing that I need to be someone that I want my daughter and future kids to honor and respect, and to be that parent, they would want to do that. But this whole week was great. Got to see many salvations. I would say, just as a quick note, if you guys would pray for a young man named Jeffrey, who's in my cabin. He went back one day, and I talked to him, and he was crying on his way back, and so I was really hopeful that he would make some sort of decision. And so I asked him what was wrong, what he wanted to talk about, and he said he accidentally raised his hand. And I kept praying, and I said, "Is there anything you want me to pray about specifically?" And he just didn't want to talk. So I kept trying to talk to him throughout the week. It was kind of near the end of the week when he did that. But if you would pray for him. But thank you guys for praying for us throughout this week. It was a great week.
Yeah, it's interesting. Jeffrey doesn't even go to any of the churches. Part of it, he was just a neighbor kid of one of the people that were coming, and they had a relationship. They invited him to come, and he definitely did not raise his hand by accident. But I saw him raise his hand, and so anyway, he was definitely a conviction. Certainly pray for him, Lord's work in his life. So.
Well, the Lord spoke to me in many ways, but one of the ways that he spoke to me in particular was the last sermon he preached of respecting your parents and your authorities. I haven't been doing that very well, and in a way that honors God, because I know that the will of God is through my parents and through my authorities. And so, yeah, I'm just thankful that all that we got to go and that this was able to be set up. Just thank you for all your prayers, because the Lord spoke to me in all the sermons. And I just thank you.
Amen.
I just want to thank everybody for giving me the opportunity to go to camp this year. Going into the week of camp, leading up to it, I had gone back and forth about going, and I'd gone back and forth about maybe coming home early, because I was like, I had this baby with me. How am I going to actually listen to any of the messages or be any help with having to carry her around the whole time? And even though the Coburnettes aren't here anymore, I just want to thank Amy. She really encouraged me, and she's taken babies to camp before. And I just really want to thank her for the encouragement that she gave me. We had been over at their house the weekend before, and she had really encouraged me to just go ahead and go and just do whatever you can do, and just be there for the kids from church. And I'm just really glad that she did that, because this week of camp was great. It was my first year getting to go as a counselor or helper. Abigail and I had our own cabin, so that was nice. We didn't have to stay up late with all the campers talking and everything. And she was just, it was kind of funny, because every single service we'd start out in there and we'd go through the songs and everything, and she'd be pretty good. And then Mr. Herbster would start preaching and she would start talking like she is right now. And I would take her outside and I'd sit outside on the steps. And as soon as we went and sat outside on the steps, she'd be quiet. And the really nice thing was, is Mr. Herbster had a very strong voice, and so you could actually hear him through the doors as long as Abigail was quiet and the wind wasn't blowing. So I actually got to hear almost every single message just through the door, not actually in there. And I didn't get to deal with any campers because of having Abigail along, but I got to pray for them as they came out the door. I was able to just pray for each of the kids that came out and for the counselors dealing with them. And it was just a real blessing to see some kids get saved that we had been praying for here at church, and just other people getting dealt with different things. And the song services were a real blessing too. One of the probably most meaningful songs that was sung was "'Tis So Sweet."
The one that Pastor Carsey's and Pastor Cooper sang.
Something about Jesus' name being sweet or something like that. And these two older gentlemen that have been preachers for years and years and years just came up and sang a song about how Jesus' name was still sweet to them. And it was just an encouragement that after all those years of service in the Lord, that they were still able to say that, especially Pastor Cleaver, who led the song services, has just lost his wife this past year. And just throughout the week, him just mentioning that God was his rock through that was a real blessing. And like a lot of the kids have said, one of the services that was really impactful in my life was the one about honoring your authorities. And most of the kids got out of it, honor your parents. And he went through all of the authorities that we have in life. And one he didn't mention but popped into my head right away was, you need to honor your husband. And being an oldest child, and I just have a really strong personality, and sometimes it's hard for me to bow my will to Josh's. And it was just a real encouragement to be reminded that I need to submit to my husband.
One of the messages that spoke to my heart was the very first one about preparing your heart for the Lord. And the decision I made was that I would prepare my heart before every service that pastor spoke, not just the week ahead, but the day ahead. And then I was really thankful. I was in awe of how many of our teens and our kids stood up during the verses when they mentioned the verses. And I'm just so thankful for Pastor and Elizabeth's desire to just help us memorize verses, and just the joy of them wanting to memorize verses.
Well, all of the messages were really good, but the two that spoke with me were putting God first was one of them, and I've been putting sleep in front of that, and now after I heard that message, I really don't want to put it in front. I want to put God first. And the other one that spoke to me really was about honoring your parents and doing what they say right away, because I haven't been doing that, but now I will try to do that.
Good.
Well,
just want to thank the Lord for what he's done in our lives, and I just want to thank him for the campers who came, and I thank Brother Mark Kerbster for all those messages he spoke to us about, and I just pray for that people can get saved. And we started praying on the end of camp days about that people can get saved, and I just want to thank the Lord for protection in all your prayers.
Well, one message that really spoke to me was about doubting my salvation, and the preacher Mark Herbster, he made it clear that I was saved. After service, I searched myself, and I knew then that I was saved.
Well, I did love Mark Herbster's messages. It spoke to me, and lots of kids got saved and stuff.
Well, all the messages at camp this week were pretty convicting, but I think the one that stuck out to me most was the one that Mr. Herbster preached about assurance of salvation. He just really spoke to my heart that my assurance of salvation is real, and the Holy Spirit lives within me.
I wanted to thank, just like we've been doing, thank you, those who have helped send us out and that we're praying this week. Lord, answered prayers. I see the Lord working all week. The words that the Lord gave Pastor Herbster were just so encouraging and convicting. The message that really did stick out to me was being set apart, being challenged again like I was last year about in my personal life, but also teaching my kids at home to be set apart, not to allow the world in, as it's all around, all the bad things there. I also was very encouraged just to see how often we are encouraged to be in God's Word through the day, hearing three messages from Pastor Herbster, but also being able to meditate on God's Word in the morning and God nighttime with our campers. We encourage them to do their personal devotions. They're also learning devotion, having devotions at night, and we're just constantly in God's Word. So just thank you again for your prayers, because God is working so much this week.
I guess the Lord really spoke to me about having a single focus, because I'm full of passions and desires for things. One day I want to be a law enforcement officer. Next day I want to be a minister. I'm like, I got to submit my will to the Lord and have one focus for him.
All right, had a really great week at camp with our campers, and they were a tremendous blessing to me all week long. Got to play big ball in 40-mile-an-hour winds and almost killed a few kids. It was great. And the messages all week long from Pastor Herbster were a tremendous blessing and challenge. But for me, the greatest conviction came on Monday night as we go back to the cabin. I'm trying to keep these 10 to 12-year-old boys in line and get them where they're supposed to go and make sure they have a folder and their Bible and all the running and all the things that we need to consider. I come back from taking my shower right before bed, and a couple of young gentlemen from our church had decided to have a prayer meeting for camp in there. And it was a conviction to me just to remember, take time, slow down, to be the Mary, not the Martha, and make sure that we're still seeking God through that time. So.
Thank you. One of the most touching sermons that Brother Mark preached was about commitment, and it really moved me to make a decision that I need to be more committed to God and read my Bible more and do more things that will honor God.
Amen. Thank you very much. Very good. My, look at the time. We still have time for... I do want to express appreciation to, first of all, the those that are our staff, and Josh and Jamie, and Josh and Angela, and Sierra, and Annie's not here, but just the work that they put in as counselors, all of them. I mean, when they sign up to go to this, this is not, it's hot, and you're going from beginning of the morning, 6 o'clock, all the way to 11 o'clock a lot of times. Not because those are the times you're supposed to wake up, but that's just kind of what happens. The kids stay up later than they're supposed to in some way, or they don't want to, they're so wired, they don't want to sleep, and then they get up early, and they're just, they don't get a lot of sleep, and there's not a lot of thanks in that. I just know that it's, when they're done, they are tired. They have spent themselves for the Lord, and yet they've done it all for those opportunities to befriend kids, to be able to talk to them, and to be able to counsel them, to be able to provide devotionals, and even to counsel them after the services. And so I just praise the Lord for the quality and dedication of those that are engaged in our youth program, and just it's what an encouragement it is. And I'm very thankful for our campers, too. I really am. And they we come in and we bring a lot of campers, and I feel like our church is part of the cream of the crop. So just not to brag too much, but there is a real sweet spirit, a real tenderness. And when we had a testimony time at camp, I think it was our campers that most of them were up there almost immediately to share what God was doing, responding to God's word. And so that's always an encouragement to me. I can only speak from experience, though I know not everyone has gone through the experience I've gone, but through my experience, I came to camp and I knew that if I did not respond to God and I didn't have a tender heart to Him, my life was not going to turn out well. And so there was a certain fear of the Lord that said, I have to listen and hear God. I'm either going to be wise and submit myself to Him, or I'm going to be a fool and reject Him. And so that to me is a very important part for me as a pastor to lead us and our children to go to this and be a part of it, because I do believe that it makes a difference. I'll give one antidote. Driving home from the service, I asked someone, in terms of on the way back from camp, I said, what was the best message for you? What was the most convicting? And they said, well, I knew that I was being disobedient to my parents and things like that. And I said, no offense, not anything, but you heard a specific message on honoring your mother and father on Sunday. A good message. Why did that one make so much of a difference in you? And they said, their response was, well, I think when God started working me on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and by the time they came to Thursday, my heart was hardened on Sunday, but it softened by Thursday and I was ready to receive it. I believe that has a big impact. I know it had a bit. That's my experience, that I softened to God's word. And it doesn't mean, young people, that you're going to, I compare it to the illustration I know of as like getting a suntan. You're out in the sun a lot, you get a nice suntan. If you don't stay in the suntan will go away. If you don't stay underneath the word of God and staying close to Him, you won't have a lasting change. And there's an aspect that there are always those elements that one of Brother Herbster talked about, how the difficult decisions are not made at camp, they're made when you go home. And you're back in the environment, and the things are there now, the temptations are around you, the distractions that maybe are the things that have kept you back. And is your life going to be different? Are you going to be changed? And that can be a challenging aspect to live differently. But God gives you grace, and I think there's those elements I saw over the years. It wasn't just Monday, Sunday, those aspects, but it was 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, that yearly impact, as well as God using other things in my life that just helped me. God broke me many times, turned me back again to where I ought to be and where I should go. So I see it as very important, and I really appreciate the tender heart of those that went. And part of it is, Let's just turn our Bibles here for about 5 to 10 minutes here. We're going to look at a couple truths I hope will be encouragement to you. It's got my favorite verse in this chapter here of late. So we'll see if we get to that part. I don't know if we need to or not, but I want to encourage you in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This I just want to give a quick devotional, a challenge, I guess, here. And for you as this is for you as intercessors. And my testimony is I went as a kid and I had this burden and pressure that if I don't listen to God, I will not have His blessing. And if I don't have His blessing, my life is just, you know, it's never going to be what I want it to be for Him. So now I come and the pressure is 20 times greater. Because if I believe I'm an intercessor, I just feel in my heart that's one of my main roles. Yes, I facilitate other things, but I really don't counsel kids. There's a lot of counselors that are investing in their time. I have in the past, and I did get to do with one person, but most of the time, my goal from the beginning of the service till the end of the invitation is to pray and to intercede for the Lord and just begin to beg Him to do a work. And God just places that burden upon me, and I just feel like I haven't really chosen that, but that's just what the Lord's called me to do. And so I just want to encourage you, because when you're in that element of an intercession, we need some things that are going to move us. And I became convinced that what was going on at Challenge Christian Camp in those services was God the Father making a transaction on the basis of the Son through the Holy Spirit. Now that sounds very, well, that just sounds, of course, that's doctrinally right. But I mean, we're talking about, we're just puny people here on the earth, and God is in heaven. Right. And there's an aspect to which on Tuesday night, we had seen no salvation decisions. Nobody had responded. Now, a couple of people responded to the Tuesday night message, but there was an element of, we come to Wednesday and we're like, uh-oh. We're almost halfway done, so to speak, because Friday gets pretty quick and we're gone. And so we've been going to pour out our hearts, and the pastors meet on Wednesday morning and begin to beg God. What if we walk out of here and nobody gets saved? What if no one responds from our church? That is a possibility. And so we get desperate with God, begin to beg Him for souls. And that night he preached the message. He had saved the message. That's not normally what the evangelist does. He normally preaches a message on salvation maybe almost right away, first night many times, or the second night or something like that. But he saved it the third night, preached a salvation message. 4 people responded, and 3 more people got saved later that evening or the next morning. Decisions of salvation. So it really was encouraging to see God move and work and answer prayer. And so I really came out of it encouraged. So I just want to share a few verses here. Jehoshaphat is in great trouble. Moab and Ammon, who are both on the southern border, have risen up against him. There's a great battle, and Jehoshaphat says in verse 5 of 2 Chronicles 20, he stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? See where he starts off? Aren't you the God? Aren't you real? That's not a question mark that is meaning to call that into question. Does that make sense? He believes that to be a statement of truth. But here he's provoking God. Not as a means to get an end, but he has an end that he needs, and he needs salvation. And he's saying, on the basis of the fact that you are God, are you not God? Have you ever felt such a holy boldness to ask God questions? To challenge Him to act and to rise up on your behalf, on the behalf of someone else? We need that kind of holy boldness. We really do. And this kind of talk language to God does not offend Him. He's going to answer every part of this request. It is the kind of talk to God that he loves to hear, because it is faith in God that says, God, I've staked everything on this, that you're God. I believe this is true. And since this is true, you've got to do something. He says, and rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? Lord, you're in charge of these people, and in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art thou not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? First aspect that we can look at here is you see that he understands the character of God. He understands that he's in charge, that he is in the heavens. I mean, I was reading through Job, and there's an element to which you get through reading Job and you realize how small we really are. I mean, Job's response, I felt that big as I'm reading through it, like, oh man, oh Job. And you're like, and he says, I have spoken things too wonderful for me. I repent in dust and ashes. Not because he, blasphemed God, but simply because he stopped seeing the grandeur and the wonder of God, and he began to question God in a less than faith-filled way in some way. He was focused more on himself than God. God asked him, I think, 40-some questions about who he is, and he gets his mind goes, and he says, I cannot answer you. I realize who you are. You have to have a big God in your life. You have to see who you are before him. Then you see the relationship that God has done. Don't you have a salvation? Don't you have a walk with God? Hasn't he done something for you, like driving out the inhabitants of the land? Hasn't he given you a victory? Can you look at him and say, I had a relationship with him in which, like Abraham, he was called a friend. He's leveraging the relationship, not with God with himself, but with God, with the nation, and with Abraham, and going back. You know what? You don't have to leverage your own relationship. You get to leverage someone else's relationship. That's really encouraging. Because my relationship kind of goes, whoop, 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 whoop. And I'm like, I need something else to leverage God. And he chooses Abraham. You gave it to the seed of Abraham. We're right here in this property because you gave it to your friend Abraham. Do you know whose relationship you and I ought to leverage? It's someone greater than Abraham. The Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you've got a powerful relationship to leverage. And when you get on your knees and begin to beg God and say, God, I want you to do something. Aren't you the God in heaven? Isn't the one at your right hand, the one whom you love, the one you seek to honor? Could you make this situation bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ? That's a powerful, powerful motivation. That rings the chords of the heartstrings of God, because that's what motivates him. He says, and they dwelt therein and have built a sanctuary there for thy name, saying, if when evil come upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. He's using something else to leverage now. He's going back to the prayer of Solomon, that Solomon prayed before God, and he interceded and said, God, would you please put your name here? Would you please, whenever there's a need, and they cry out to you, and he's standing, we're standing right here in front of that same house, and you said, Lord, that that's what you're going to do. He came to Solomon and said, what you prayed, I will do. So now he's leveraging not just who God is, not just his relationship or the relationship of another with God. He is leveraging God's own words. So when you go to prayer and you want to get a hold of something and says, God, I've got to have you work, find the words of God that apply to that situation. That's why he talks about if ye abide in him and my words, if ye abide in me and my words abide in me, you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done for you. That abiding of the word of God in us is huge in how it transforms our lives. And then he says in here, and now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they are turned from them and destroyed them not. We were merciful. We were kind to them. No, there's an element to which now he's leveraging their own past actions. If you're going to be an intercessor for the Lord, you know, there's some psalms in there that we don't always feel comfortable, but he'll say, Lord, reward me according to my righteousness. And we say, oh. Like I said, we like to leverage someone else's relationship, but what if we leverage my righteousness? Help me understand this, at least as I understand it. It does not mean the faulty error that you can come into and say, I earned it because I did what was right. No. We've never earned anything. It's always the grace of God. But I'm going to tell you something. I can't be an intercessor and live my own way of life. I can't live in rebellion against God and then go out and pray for someone else to get right with God. Does that make sense? I've got to submit. Monday night, be confident, be committed, be cleansed. Prepare your heart to seek the Lord. I heard God's word, and there was some things that, it was amazing. Being an intercessor is some of the most powerful fulcrum that God has to move me. I've been convicted, made commitments, changed slightly, fell back. Been convicted, made changes, fell back. Maybe I'm going forward. And I said, yep, Lord, you put your finger right back on the same thing again. And I said, Lord, I'm committed. I'm confident in you that you're going to help me. I'm going to be committed to what you're going to do. I'm going to get it out of my life. And I need to be cleansed. And I asked the Lord, please forgive me. Yeah. And by God's grace, what's today, Sunday? 2 days, been back home. I'm doing what's right and praising God. It was a genuine repentance. And I felt like I got clean. So maybe you don't feel like you can leverage your own righteousness. If you're filled with dirty and your sin, you say, I can't pray. Well, get cleansed. Because when you get cleansed, I'm telling you, God answers my prayer more than when I'm cleansed. I'm serious. And you get your heart right with the Lord and you begin to see God answer your prayers. It's a beautiful thing. But start living right. And do what's right, because you know, and there's elements to which, I just saw God helping me make right decisions and choosing others over myself through that week because I wanted to have access to the ear of God. And we've got to have that kind of aspect where we're living in submission to His will. And then he says, verse 11 and 12, he says, behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast out of us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. And he says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And when you become an intercessor in that sense of it, you feel tangibly inside that I have nothing. I am absolutely weak, and I am dependent upon the choice of God. I remember the time witnessing to this man. I was over in China for 6 weeks. I got put with a young man that was gotten saved 2 weeks before I got there. I was discipling him throughout that week. It was so exciting. He had a close friend. They loved playing basketball. Honestly, I played basketball better I do now than I did back then. And that's not saying a whole lot. But back then, I could hardly play basketball. I mean, in terms of like it was out of my element. It wasn't a game that I played. And so I'd go up for a layup, and I would probably miss it 4 times out of 5 on a layup. All right, you guys want to know the truth? It was bad. And we played a game in which we were playing like 21 against these guys. And these guys, they are living for basketball. And I'm serious. I couldn't miss. And I knew
I knew that God was helping me. That's sometimes what you pray for. Oh, I'd love to be a star. You know, Lord, give me a home run every time I swing. You know, the Lord's never going to do that. But that's the way sometimes my mind would go. Anyway, but God was helping me. It was able to build kind of a relationship with this young man that was unsaved. He sat down with us in the last week that we were there, and I witnessed to him. He asked questions. We were talking through an interpreter, through the saved guy, and he was sitting there, and I just came to this realization. There is nothing I can do to make him trust the Lord. Nothing. And then I began to pray because he was just sitting there quietly. And then he looked up after a long period of time, and he said, I want to trust Christ. And I knew in that moment that it wasn't because I witnessed to him. It was because God had mercy on him. He says, we don't even know what to do. We have no power. You've got to confess your absolute emptiness before God. And what's so beautiful is they're just standing there. Verse 13 says, and all Judah stood before the Lord, and their little ones, and they're all just standing there. Okay, we prayed. Is God going to do anything? And one in their midst, the Spirit of God comes upon them, and they receive revelation of God's heart to them. And he says to them, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow you'll go down against them. They will come up by the cliff Ziph, and you shall find them at the end of the brook. Jump to verse 17. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. For the Lord will be with you. Fear thou not. So anyway, just a beautiful God gives and he answers. Yeah. You're standing there saying, God, are you going to do anything? And God does something. In fact, he does more than you think. And he says, you don't have to do anything. You just stand still. I've got this. This is my battle. I'm going to step in. And they go out with singers before the army. And the army fights each other, destroys each other, and they just show up for the cleanup. Because God heard his prayer. God loves it when we intercede, when we take him seriously enough to believe that he is real. And that we want to see him act and move and work in our church and our lives. Can we not take these principles and begin to pray and say, God, give me my children? Can we not pray and say, Lord, give me a soul to save? Lord, I want to see you use me. God can. He wants to. There comes an element where we have to come to a conviction that says, I must have God. And sometimes he makes us wait. Sometimes it's not immediate. He never is late. But he's seldom early. And he's always on time with his plan. And I know there's more to intercession than just those things, because the Lord will lead us down a path where you begin to intercede for a long period of time. And it grows your faith and trust you. And so it's not that God answers everything immediately, but oftentimes he will. He'll strengthen your faith. He'll show you he can do great and mighty things. When did God turn the captivity of Job? When he prayed for his friends, when he became an intercessor, God began to bless his life. May we be a church who fulfills that role for these young people, for our community, for ourselves. Let's pray. Dear Father, we come before you. And Lord, we want to see you do great and mighty things. We don't want to play church. We don't want to do devotions. Father, we want to interact with you, the Almighty God. We believe that you are the King of heaven and that this world is under your control. And we are your people. Lord, please use us. Make us lights, Lord, to shine in this world. The world would see it and know it'd make a difference. We know that some respond to the Savior of Christ and they see it as death and they run away, but others, they find it the Savior of life, unto life. Father, we pray that you would use us for your glory's sake.
not so that we might put a badge on our chest, but so that Jesus Christ and his sacrifice would receive the glory and the honor that he deserves. We pray it all in his wonderful name. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.